Sunrise with Shona on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the mighty Hot 102.7. And today I want to look at how we might sometimes feel that life is unfair, that God is unfair. And I wonder if you've ever asked that question or said that to someone. God is unfair. I've been treated unfairly. You've done everything right. How can this possibly be happening to you? Where is God in this? I hear it often in my offices where people come to talk to me and express those questions and that sentiment. And I think a few times in my life, if I'm honest, I've probably felt it myself. Hey God, this just isn't fair. And it reminds me, of course, of that elder son in Luke 15 that we spoke about last week, who came from the field, saw his father throwing a party, and it was for his brother, who had squandered everything he had on wild living and prostitutes. And then the father, who was God, welcomed him back with open arms and threw a party for him and killed the fattened calf. And that brother suffered that deep resentment, feeling life was unfair. When we want to look at unfairness in the Bible, the best place to go to is Job. And I want to place Job in context. The book of Job is a story of a good man, a really good man, who suffers total disaster. He loses all his children. He loses all his property. And if that isn't bad enough, he's afflicted with a terrible disease, making him an outcast in the community. Job then has three friends who go and sit with him, and the author shows us how Job and his friends react to the disaster, especially in terms of their relationship with God. And then we have a bystander who speaks, and eventually God meets with Job himself. The friends believe in a punitive God. There's no doubt about that. So in their minds, and it's from their teaching, it's not their fault, they've been taught that if you do good, God blesses you. If you do wrong, you're punished. That's the God they believe in, a punitive God. And so they assume that God will always reward good and always punish evil. Therefore, if something bad happens to you, as it did to Job, then Job must have done something wrong and God is punishing him. So that's what they're sharing with Job. You must have done something wrong. From Job's perspective, he says, this is unjust. I don't deserve this punishment. I've been a good person. I've done everything well. He believes he's been unusually good and righteous, never doing anything wrong. He can't believe that God is allowing such evil to happen to someone as himself, and he boldly challenges God. So he challenges God verbally. He never loses his faith. I want us to recognize that. He doesn't lose his faith. He just speaks boldly to God and says, this is unfair. Why are you doing this to me? And I think it's important to note that. What Job wants from God is an answer, and he wants to be reinstated, healed, and restored to a position of righteousness by God. God actually doesn't ever answer Job directly. Again, something we need to remember. It's important for us to note. But God does paint a poetic picture of how wise he, God, is, how powerful God is, overwhelming Job with this picture of God's wisdom and power, and Job repents and takes back his harsh words. So how does God speak to us? That's something we can look at here. How does God speak to us? Sometimes not directly as we want. This is the answer. But through showing us a different perspective. And that's what happens in Job. And I often say we need to shift our perspective. The friends, of course, get into trouble. God reprimands them. They are reprimanded by God because they didn't give Job the answers or the comfort that he needed. And it's actually where we get that expression, Job's comforter. Don't be a Job's comforter. It's people who come into our lives and who they pretend or that maybe they genuinely care about us, but their words are not comforting. They don't uplift us. They actually make the situation worse. Yes, yes, that's absolutely terrible. That's dreadful. God is punishing you. And we need to be careful of not being a Job's comforter. But what we see in Job is that he is the one who sensed that God was greater than the religious teachings they were receiving. So he's the one who knew better. And in the middle of Job, in Job chapter 32, we find a bystander, Elihu, who could not control his anger anymore because they were blaming God and Job was justifying himself. He's angry with the three friends as well. And so he eventually speaks. He's a younger person and he eventually speaks and he starts to change Job's perspective. And when we look then this morning at Job 38, we find that the Lord speaks to Job. And that is where Job's perspective changes completely. But first on the Mighty Hot 102.7, praise my soul, the King of Heaven.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Praise my soul, the King of Heaven on the Mighty Hot 102.7. Good morning, you're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church, and it is good to be with you. We're in a difficult book this morning, the book of Job. A man who's lost everything. He's lost his family. He's lost his property. He suffers from a dreadful disease. His friends blame him and feel that God is treating, well, punishing him for what he's done wrong. He feels that God is unfair. And then we encounter God as God speaks to Job. And Job, of course, repents and has everything restored to him. We also have the bystander who started to set Job right. And now in chapter 38, God speaks. A few weeks ago, I did speak and ask you, do you think that God still speaks today? And of course, the answer was yes. So here we have God speaking to Job. We are told, then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. And here's the poetic part of it. I think we need to read it. Who is it that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? This is God speaking. Brace yourself like a man. I question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. So already we see God putting Job in the right place. Where were you when this earth was formed? How can you question me, God? Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Seeing as you seem to know everything is basically what God is saying. Who stretched a measuring line across it? Or what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, this far you may come and no further? Here is where your proud waves halt. So he's basically saying, who made this earth? Who made the seas? He goes on to say, who has given orders in the morning so that the morning will show dawn, its place, that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their right. Their upraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed, says God, to the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the deepest darkness? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all of this. And he goes on to talk about the abode of light, where darkness resides. Can you take their places? Do you know the paths to their dwellings? Surely you know, for you were already born. You've lived so many years. Have you entered the snow houses of snow or seen the storehouses of hail? And I'm reading it to you because actually God goes on and on and on. So God is really making a point and changing Job's perspective. And he goes on to say, what is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed? Or the place where the east winds are scattered on the earth? Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and the path of the thunderstorm to water a land where no one lives, an uninhabited desert, to satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass? Does the rain have a father who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice who gives birth to the frost from the heavens? And I think as we go through this, we just see him going on and on. He then talks about the stars and Orion's belt. He talks about floods. He talks about bolts of lightning. God goes on and on and on, talking to Job. And he ends by saying, do you hunt the prey for the lioness and satisfy the hunger of the lions when they crouch in their dens or wait in the thicket? Who provides food for the raven when its young cry out to God and wonder about the lack of food? So here we have God really putting Job in his place. He's saying, you think you're so self-righteous. You think you're fantastic. You think you know all the answers. But you don't, because you can't do any of these things that I, God, can do. And I think, in a way, I mean, we could say, well, God has been harsh with Job instead of just comforting Job. But I think in the way that God addresses Job, it is to make Job change his perspective of God, change his perspective of life, his perspective of himself, and realize how blessed he is, but also how small he is in comparison to God. And perhaps sometimes we need to do that. It's almost not just right-sizing God, it's right-sizing ourselves in comparison to God. And that would change our conversation with God and our perspective on life and how we're experiencing life. So it's just interesting for me how God goes about changing Job's mindset from one of feeling woe is me and feeling sorry for himself to one of saying, wow, God, you are amazing. And so I thought it would be appropriate now if we listen to on the Mighty Hot 1027, how great is our God.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 1027.
How great is our God on the Mighty Hot 1027. Good morning. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona. And we've been in the book of Job. We've looked at Job chapter 38, where God is right-sizing Job and changing Job's perspective on who he feels he is and who God is. And he's shown Job, if you like, how great God himself is and how God creates everything and how we can't, as humans, make the rain fall in the desert and so on. So he while Job felt that God was completely unfair, we need to see that God responds to Job, meets with Job, speaks to Job, and helps Job change his perspective. And I want us to recognize here that God meets with Job. So in the midst of whatever we're going through, when we're going through these challenges, God still meets with us. God loves us. God is with us. But God might not answer the way we want God to answer. God might answer in a way that changes our perspective and helps us to recognize how great God is, how amazing God is. And I'm going to look at that again right at the end this morning. But right now, I want to read from Psalm 104, verses 1 to 10. Now, as you listen, you're going to see the psalmist says almost the same thing we read about God saying to Job. So the psalmist has experienced this for themselves. And I think we need to be reminded of this from time to time, how God is really in control, we not, and how we don't possess God's wisdom. And we need to remember how awesome our God is, how powerful our God is. And so the psalm starts, Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the water. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. This beautiful poetry. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. You set the earth on its foundations, so that it shall never be shaken. You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they flee, at the sound of your thunder they take flight. It's just showing us how strong and powerful our God is, and it does put us in our place. Verse 8, they rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place that you appointed for them. You, God, set the boundary, that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys, they flow between the hills. Goes on, the psalmist goes on to talk about how God gives drinks to the wild animals, quenches their thirst. By the streams, the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches. He goes on and on, talking about the trees of the field, the cedars of Lebanon. The birds build their nests. The stork has its home. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are the refuge for the conies. And so we hear about the moon. We hear about the stars, the sun knowing its time for setting. We hear about day and night. I think today, as we look at all of this, as we look at the psalm, as we look at Job, I think the lesson for us today is to right-size ourselves in relationship to God. So I've talked before about right-sizing God, who created this whole universe and continues to create, and how the universe continues to expand. But today, I think the lesson for us is to not be self-righteous, first of all, to recognize how much God loves us, that God still speaks, God meets us where we are, and we need to remember who God is, in both our way of being as well as in our speech as we talk to God. And so we need to give God all the praise and all the glory as we spend our life praising God, no matter what we're going through, and always recognizing that God is in control and that we serve a mighty and awesome God. So I pray that whatever you're going through today, I hope something of what I said helps in some way. When we don't understand at all, let us remind ourselves of Job and just turn fully to God and rest in God. May God bless you and your family and your loved ones. I pray that you will fall under God's protection and grace. And I pray that you will pray for me as I pray for you. Thank you so much for listening today. To wrap up this morning, in Christ alone and surely the presence of the Lord. May God be with you.
Sunrise with Shona
on Heart 102.7.